found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, stay warm out there, Houston. Protect yourself. Jump on a plane. 713-780-37.
Jump on planes. They're all canceled. I couldn't all even get home if I hadn't set my phone, my stuff earlier. All what? These flights have been canceled. Check your flights. You don't get to just jump on a plane, John. That's not real stuff you can tell people.
Fly private. Do something.
People can't fly private. It's too expensive.
713-780.
It's the worst advice I've ever heard anyone give anyone.
713-780-3776. Get out while the getting's good. Me and Ted Cruz, we got the same philosophy.
Listen, guys, if the going gets tough, just fly private and get out of there.
Get out of there.
You don't have a friend with a jet.
Here's where Ted.
If he was flying private, he wouldn't have been in an airport.
Yeah, that's where Ted made the big mistake. Yeah. Get a private jet. Nobody knows. You go to millionaire, and you get on, and nobody takes your picture, and you get your family to Cancun, and everybody's happy.
Billionaire and millionaire, are those names of private jet companies?
It's millionaire, not billionaire.
Air.
It's millionaire. Millionaire is where you take off.
That doesn't
jets.
Sound accessible. Is it anything like Spirit?
There's nothing like Spirit. No, there's no private jets like Spirit.
You don't have to fight your way on. Like, there's not like, well, we're overbooked, guys. I don't know this for a fact. I just wonder, have they ever made anyone fight for an overbooked spot at Spirit?
No, Spirit. No, I don't think you. Oh, like Fight Club to get on?
Well, yeah, like, okay,
there's
folks,
one
we're
seat.
Overbooked.
Who wants it?
Yeah, let's see who wants it. And everyone gathers in a circle. All right, we've got Ray Mendoza and Gary McElberry. And then they, like, have to get into
this
circle.
I'm taking Mendoza in this one.
Against McElberry?
Against McElberry.
I don't know. Yeah. I did, by the way, I had a one-hour delay yesterday because as we're getting ready to leave, and I never get out of Mobile without a delay. It's impossible. We're getting ready to leave on this tiny little plane where they kicked me out of the seat that I was in and put me in a worse seat for some reason. This happened twice with United. But anyway, we just heard, all right, folks, we are pulled away, and we're waiting on the tarmac to, I guess, take off. He goes, all right, folks, looks like we've got a gap in the exit door here, and there's a gap where it's supposed to close, so we're going to have to get that looked at. We're not going to be able to fly like that. So hold on one second. We're just going to go back.
Anybody have any super glue?
So they go
in. Anybody have any caulk?
Some guy tweet about that?
That was me.
That was you?
Yeah, and then some other guy did.
Some
guy. He was on the plane.
Yeah, yeah.
He was on the flight with me, and he was pissed.
And he like got mad at the
flight
attendant.
Goes, okay, guys, so sorry, but you know it's also better to find this on the ground than in the air. And I'm like, well, you know, that's accurate. So we go there. We wait. This guy walks, and we see him walking. And they don't seem to be able to hear our. We can't get anyone to answer for in the control tower. So hopefully we'll get this taken care of soon, and we can be on the way. So finally, after like 10 minutes, this guy comes walking. We see him walking. It's like a 150-yard walk, 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 walk. He walks to us. He opens a door and shuts it harder. And he goes, all right, folks, looks like just needed to be shut a little harder. It's all fixed. Whatever the problem was, it's all fixed. Like, wait a minute. It's just like a car door when you don't shut it right?
You didn't close the door?
The lady
on the flight?
The flight attendant did not close the door properly, I guess. And so then she's like, well, I'm sorry, guys. And then the pilot goes, all right, we're going to have to, luckily that's taken care of. So it just needed to be closed a little better. And we got some paperwork now we're going to have to do. So it's probably, we'll update you, but I think it's going to be about another 20 to 30 minutes as we get paperwork. So then they had to do paperwork on opening and closing the door harder, like you do with your door. They had to do that because it's a plane. So it took us an hour. We were an hour delayed because somebody didn't shut the door properly. I didn't even know that was a thing in planes, that you couldn't shut it right.
And did anyone look at the stewardess and go, hey, how about, do you have any problems, you know, opening a can of soda?
No, but
what's wrong with you?
One guy goes, oh, Lance, I was on the flight with you. He goes, if it wasn't for that stewardess who was high, you know, and I'm like, I didn't say that. I don't think she was high, but he thought that she was high. He's like, this is unacceptable. They're losing lots of money. I just thought, well, it sucked. I wasn't very happy about it at all. I felt like it could have been avoided if somebody just shut the door better. Like I tell my kids, shut the door better.
Right.
And they just open and shut it. Well, apparently with planes, it's a 30-minute paperwork you have to do.
Did you do the paperwork on that?
I don't do it in my car door. No, we don't have to do paperwork with car doors.
On your car door?
No.
I thought you were going to say that stewardess who was hot, so it was okay. She was
no,
hot.
No, high.
So. Oh, high.
He claimed, another guy claimed that she was high. I just think she was.
I found the tweets. It was David Cantor.
Yeah.
He says, they had to call maintenance. They got delayed, missed connection, missed all remaining flights, and the passenger in 2A, parentheses me, tells her it's not a maintenance issue. It's just that she didn't do her job.
Oh,
that was the guy who had headphones on. I could tell he was pissed. So, yeah, a lot of people missed their connections because we had to wait for an hour there the door didn't get shot properly.
This must have been a really small plane. Was it like 8-seater? I mean, you guys are all get to know each other. This was a... Did you worry maybe lost? You guys would be.
Yeah, it was. We were two on one side, one
on
the other.
ABC.
One of those tiny little planes, and yeah, but people were rushing, bum rushing. As soon as we landed, they were sprinting. There was none of this. Like as soon as we landed, people were jumping up and running to the front. Please sit down here. Keep your seatbelt buckle. Oh, Leo! They were like, you know, yelling. Like, let's go. We got to go. And everyone's trying to make their connections. I'm like, oh, I live here. Good luck to y'all, though.
I'm good. Yeah, you guys can get off.
Good luck to you guys headed to California.
I'm still going to elbow people to get out because I want to get home.
Good luck to you guys with all these flights being canceled literally as we speak.
Yeah, you'll be in Houston and freezing for a while. I mentioned Hugh Jackson before. Yep. He was on ESPN yesterday. So he Brian Flores came out and said, hey, they offered me $100,000 to tank and lose football games in Miami, which is that's a damning accusation. Well, Hugh Jackson was like, "Hey, what about me? Look, the Browns did the same thing to me." Well, and he said, "I got proof." Well, I'm not sure that this is going to stand up in a court of law.
This is what I would say. What I was approached by is understanding what that 4-year plan was. And I think if we understood the mechanics of it and how it was laid out, I never knew that that plan would lead to those things because I didn't understand it, being very honest. And then once I was in it and understood everything that was on that plan and how it affected myself and how others were being paid from it, then it made sense to me that this is a team that can't win, that the first 2 years, that's why I didn't talk about winning, is not to win so that you can capitalize that way, not so much for me, but for draft picks, for creating salary cap space so that they can do what they needed to do on the other end. And I do know that no head coach is going to survive if you lose a lot of games. There's no way. And so I was put out as the face of this, and I ended up having to take this.
Did you express?
Yeah, that's not going to hold up in a court of law.
I don't know that he's suing. No, I think he's just saying
No, he said I can help you out with your suit, and I'm accusing the Browns of the same thing. Here, he went on to say this: I have documentation that I think any coach would kind of cringe at if he saw it. It talked about things that had nothing to do with winning, aggregate rankings, being the youngest team, having so many draft picks. None of those things are what lead to winning. Well, those are things that will lead to winning in the future. If you're a young team, you develop those players. If you have a lot of draft picks that you can count on to be there for the future, Hugh, maybe you're not going to win for the first couple of years. But you know what? You got a long-term plan.
John, tell me who runs the what's the driving force behind the Cleveland Browns team building? What has it been for years? And especially under Hugh Jackson.
Just accumulate draft picks.
Yeah, but who's
Sashi Brown?
Right, it was Sashi Brown. That's right. And what is the driving force in their philosophy with Cleveland? I'm setting you up. You know the answer. It's analytics, right?
Oh yeah. Oh no, they've got it. They were one of the first teams that
I know analytics has those things out there.
And one of the things that analytics has is the same concept. It you have to remember now, it doesn't vary from sport to sport. The concept is you take the information that is provided you and you utilize the information and historical data provided to you. Well, the historical data has shown that in the NBA, the highest picks and the best picks lead you to being rebuilt. We saw how the Philadelphia 76ers, they called it trust the process, right? Well. The Browns aren't going to be any different. The Browns recognize, you know what, if we get the best picks, if we sit this out and we get the best picks we can over a certain amount of time, we are going to have the best opportunity to win because the data tells us that is the case. To have the highest picks possible will give us the best chance and the most picks possible. So they went about their business doing that. I find it funny that in baseball we talk about tanking. In basketball, it's a known thing that teams will tank to try to get the earliest picks. This is just, we're acting like, wait a minute, the Dolphins wanted to tank? The Browns wanted to tank?
But incentivizing losing, though, is a different
problem.
Story.
And I don't think coaches are okay with it in football, too, by the way. No. Tanking is not a thing in the NFL. But the idea that someone could possibly ask you to tank, if you're a sports fan, how funny is it that you recognize this happens all the time, but in football somehow we're clutching our pearls that anyone would want somebody to tank? Like the Jets, you think the Jets, well, maybe not right now. Maybe we don't know.
Our favorite team did this. What are you talking about? The best team and won 5 years later.
The process.
Won the World Series 5 years later. I mean, it's not brain surgery. If you're losing good high draft picks, you're going to get better players. Here's where Hugh Jackson's argument falls apart. He was fired in 2018. He was 2-5-1. He was replaced by Greg Williams, who went 5-3 over the second half of the season. 2 years later, not the following year, but a year after, Stefanski takes him to the playoffs. So this Hugh Jackson thing where, oh, we're losing and they're trying to lose and they're incentivizing losing. Dude, you were a terrible coach. Right after you left, this team became a good football team. So it wasn't about that. He was just a bad football coach, and we'll find out what happens now in Grambling because he's the head coach there, back on his feet with the head. And good for him. I mean, he had a bad situation. There's no question. He shouldn't be blackballed from the league because they were rebuilding and tanking in Cleveland at the time to try to get draft picks. But here's the problem with Sashi Brown. Sashi Brown guy had all these draft picks and then wouldn't even use them.
Right.
He never picked up and never got a quarterback.
He wouldn't
and
sit
traded,
down and
traded the pick for Deshaun Watson to the Texans when he was in dire need of a quarterback.
Yeah, he wouldn't sit down and actually make a pick. But the whole concept is, it's not unusual. People shouldn't act like it's weird that you think that a team would want to lose. This is something that goes on in baseball and basketball all the time. Now in football, to act like you think this is crazy. The problem is you cannot incentivize. Number one, if you incentivize, that's having an impact on the sanctity of the game, which I promise you football takes more seriously than basketball and baseball. Because basketball and baseball are like, whatever. Bad teams are bad. We don't care. But in football, it has always been about you've got the parity is the number one thing in football. Basketball and baseball have no parity structure.
No. I can't be watching a game thinking that the team that's playing is being paid to lose.
No, you can't.
That's something that Roger Goodell really has to address.
You can't do that, but you can't offer a coach money to. If that's found out, John, I think the punishment should be extremely severe.
Stephen Ross is facing it right now. There's no question. All right, 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to get in on this or anything else. Right now we're talking about, okay, how cold is it? You got a chance that possibly you could have pipe problems? Yes, absolutely. Water problems? Yes, absolutely. What do you do during these situations? Do you run your water? I don't. You know what? here's the problem. You got to find out from professionals how you should go about this. But listen, if you have any issues whatsoever, take this number down now. Be the first to call because they're going to be very busy. If we have a freeze and pipes are bursting, then Aqueduct Plumbing Company is going to be swamped. You want this number right now, 281-488-6238. 281-488-6238.
Yeah, make sure you have that. And don't forget, anytime there's leaks or issues, or even if you're concerned that something may happen, if you don't know if you had a pipe bursted off, you think it may be leaking because you still have water, but you're worried about your water pressure, they can do the hydrostatic testing and find out whether or not you have a leak. And that's now, that's anytime. But they also help you with, you know, installing tankless water heaters, with moving gas piping around if you want to add an outdoor kitchen, or they can do major repipes underneath your home in a single day. So make sure that you call the professionals and our friends over at Aqueduct Plumbing to get the information and check out all their services. Go to thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com.
ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Doug Peterson to the Jags, interesting choice. Doug Peterson, I felt like, you know, you win a Super Bowl. It's funny, like Brian Billick never found a job again. Of course, those were, it was interesting. He was an offensive coach, and they were so defensive-minded, you know, that I don't get it. I don't know why.
I wondered if he even wanted to get back in. I feel like Brian Billick's the type of guy who could have got back in, but sometimes I wonder if he even wanted to.
I thought he did.
Did he? Maybe he did, yeah.
I think Doug Peterson did a hell of a job, and then all of a sudden he's out, and I don't know, you know, why he hasn't been. I mean, that guy won. So how is he not? Gene Chizik wins a national championship 2 years later. He's got no job. You know, Coach O is a little bit different. He's a Cajun through and through, so that was the perfect storm for him. But it's funny, Doug Peterson, how he just disappeared. I mean, it wasn't like he was a poor coach, you know. So he gets that job. It looks like Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So the jobs are starting to fill up, and the Texans are still, you know. Honestly, Lance, it's out of the question to hire Josh McCown. It has to be out of the question, doesn't it? After all, if they are so tone deaf. And I know they don't give a rat's ass what anybody thinks, but they are so tone deaf to hire a Josh McCown in this climate with one African-American head coach in the NFL right now. And forget about that. But after what they did with David Culley with no experience, with no head coaching experience and not ready for the job, to do this now, how about forcing, and this is out there. And as a matter of fact, we had a listener asked yesterday, and I said, I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility at all that they force Josh McCown on the staff as quarterback coach and offensive coordinator,
God,
whatever.
What a nightmare. Who in the world takes that job knowing that the guy they really want is they're just waiting to fire you?
Right.
I mean, what a terrible – you would have to be the most desperate coach in pro football history to take a job knowing that Josh McCown is on that staff who they really want to hire for you.
Right.
Wouldn't well, you? Because you already know that they're waiting to fire you and hire Josh.
Well, that's fine, but how about I win and you know what? You make it, but although this organization, who knows what they'll do to get their guy in there, you know? Listen, I want this job. Jonathan Gannon, you want this job? Well, here's the job. Jonathan Gannon, you're going to get another job elsewhere? You're going to be one of the 32 head NFL coaches in the NFL? Are you going to be, or do you want to be, or not?
Here's what would be worse. If they offer the job to Eric Bieniemy, who's not getting any sniffs this year. Something's going on with Bieniemy. He's getting no sniffs. The Saints are now talking about, hey, we think we might want to talk to him. That's like the only sniff he's getting. Andy Reid came out the other day, said, Eric calls the plays. I do know there's a background of some domestic stuff with him and some run-ins with – it was several years ago. But there's three different incidents, and there is a belief that that could be having an impact on him. I don't know if that's the case, but I know that Eric Bieniemy is not really being – it doesn't sound like considered for anything this year. What if Eric Bieniemy were offered the job, and then they told him he had to have Josh McCown on his staff, another offensive coach? Could you imagine the uproar there, which there should rightfully be? You can't force a coach onto a staff. You might force a team, hey, we want to keep Lovie Smith here. Okay, listen, we've had to fire coaches left and right. We owe so much money to Bill O'Brien and David Culley already that we're not going to just get rid of this entire staff and have to start all over and pay for a brand new staff. They could do that. Like, I could see Lovie Smith staying on this staff, maybe even Pep Hamilton staying on the staff. I could see that. I could see them wanting to keep some of the coaches on the staff still. I do think that'll happen. I don't think they could force their next head coach on the staff. I mean, you have to have no self-respect to allow that to happen.
Well, if it's a prerequisite for the job, then you know,
and
what?
Wait for another job.
We'll bring him along, and maybe somebody else will scoop him up if we keep winning. Adam Schefter tweeted out: Bears Matt Eberflus, Broncos Nathaniel Hackett, Giants Brian Daboll, Raiders Josh McDaniels, Vikings Kevin O'Connell, Jaguars Doug Peterson. Master Tess retweeted it with white. And it's true. It's unbelievable. And this is just – now, let me ask you this, Lance. We got a little bit of time. Okay, I heard a conspiracy theory. Is there any chance that Bill Belichick did not make a mistake, that Bill Belichick knew exactly what he was doing when he sent that text to Brian Flores saying congratulations? And he knew it was Daboll. And then he said, oops, I effed up. My bad. When, in fact, he knew this would come back on Goodell. This would come back on the NFL. This would be a, after all of the times that they've gone after the Patriots, and he, maybe it's a little payback to Goodell and the league.
Well, Flores, the former Dolphins coach, claims he became aware that the Giants planned to hire Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll to be the team's next head coach after Belichick accidentally congratulated Flores on getting the job when Belichick meant to congratulate Daboll. That's what you're talking about. Flores contends that Belichick had more than inside information. He contends that Belichick actually influenced New York's decision. I'm reading this to make a point. Quote, I think there are back-channel conversations and back-channel meetings that are had that often sometimes influence decisions. I think the Giants hiring process is a clear example of that. Bill Belichick is a clear example of that. His resume speaks to that. It was clear to me that the decision was made with his influence. This is why I don't think that holds up. Brian Flores, unless Brian's trying to somehow protect Bill Belichick, but I don't think so because he's throwing him kind of under the bus, that he said, it was clear to me the decision was made with his influence, and that's part of the problem. That needs to change. So I don't think Flores saying that real. I think that kind of eliminates that conspiracy theory because he's saying Bill Belichick's one of the problems, the fact that he has the influence. He's basically saying Bill Belichick is the one who got Brian Daboll.
Does he know? Does he
hired.
Have proof of that?
Well, no, he thinks that's the case. The Giants said that Bill Belichick had
case.
No
Does
role.
He have proof that Belichick had any influence on the Giants?
No,
head
you're
coaching
no. I'm not saying he has any proof. What I'm telling you though is that I think it's highly unlikely that this conspiracy theory holds water when Brian Flores is out there saying Bill Belichick's one of the reasons that Daboll got hired, and that's because he influenced a decision. Like, why would he influence a decision and try to?
Why would he influence the decision toward Daboll and away from Flores?
That's what I'm saying. Why would he do that and then try to make Brian
Flores aware of it? No. That's what I'm saying is Flores' accusation that Belichick had influence on that doesn't hold water to me. Because he's saying that why would he not get behind his guy, Brian Flores, and go with and try to get the Giants to hire Daboll instead of Flores?
What do you mean? He's saying part of the problem is that guys like Bill Belichick have an influence with other teams and push for other guys. Then
you
why
would think
he intentionally...
that he would push for one of his guys, Flores?
Well, Daboll is one of his guys also. Daboll's coached on the Patriots staff too. Daboll's one of his guys.
Oh yeah.
Everybody, there's a lot of his guys.
Oh yeah.
So Daboll's also an Alabama guy. Remember that too. He was a Nick Saban guy. He's a Saban and he just really believes in him as an offensive coach. You know, the Giants may have just really wanted an offensive coach because of their quarterback situation. That's very, very possible. And Daboll has been a good coordinator for a long time. Brian Daboll has a resume that you can definitely make a case for being a head coach. My problem with what your conspiracy theory was is I don't see him accidentally, although I don't know how you, unless, have you ever done that? I guess sometimes when you have one guy on your mind, you might accidentally text them something because I don't see how Flores.
Well, plus they both got the same first name and you just go Brian and
Or unless somebody has been texting you back and forth and you happen to be on an old, you happen to have been on like you're in the middle of texting. So he and Flores would have had to have been texting back and forth at that particular time, and he accidentally responded to the wrong person.
Well, I forgot Daboll was on his staff. I mean, he's been on 1,000 staffs.
Yeah.
Daboll's been around. So, well, okay. So maybe it was just a mistake.
Maybe
Belichick's trying to get to Roger Goodell and make the league look like crap after all the times he punished the Patriots for all their wrongdoings. I don't know. It was just a conspiracy thing.
Yeah. No, I got it. Maybe. I mean, it seems weird that you accidentally send a text like that. And when he said, congratulations for what? And he goes, oh, I'm talking. He could have just said,
I'm just talking to Ryan Poles. Just got the GM job for the Bears.
Yeah, right. He could have said anything.
He could have just said that, yeah.
Right. Could have said anything. All right. 713-780-3776, 831 here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to get in the show here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got to talk about my peeps over at Chastang Ford right now. I'm telling you right here and right now, you're going to get your best Ford deal from my people. And you want a Vetti cooler? You can get that as well. Just say, hey, how about that Vetti cooler? And you know what? They'll probably just say, no, it's absolutely, here you go. That's part of the deal. You are going to get, forget Vetti coolers. What you're going to get is the best deal on a Ford car or truck, period, exclamation point, with no add-ons, with rebates, with everything that that the dealership's going to offer. They're not putting it in their pocket. Other dealerships are not only not going to give you the rebates, but they're going to charge you $5,000 or $10,000 more just to purchase that car because it's so hard to get cars right now. Well, the demand is so high. And you can customize, you can do it exactly as you want it. But the other dealerships are saying, well, since the demand is high, we're going to charge you more than the sticker price. Well, that's ridiculous. But Chastang Ford ain't doing business that way. What they're going to do is try to get you the best deal and the best Ford vehicle that you want exactly how you want it at the price you want it at. Listen, you guys have been showing up. I talked to Patrick the other day. We got all kinds of 97.5 listeners, and he loves it, and we love it. So keep on going there. All you got to do is go to Chastang Ford, or you can get there at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance with you at 713-780-3776. Lance has stepped out to take a call. Okay, so we got that going on. Rockets at the Spurs. That's going to be 7:30 tonight. You can do something while you are freezing cold. Keep warm. Hopefully your electricity will stay on. We won't have rolling. That wasn't. And Lance said earlier in the show we're going to have rolling blackouts. So we clicked on, And then it was that wood dude sitting there with his stuff all hanging out. So that's not the case. Hopefully that's not the case. We'll have to hear from Lena Hidalgo and find out how safe we are if we have to wear a mask. You know what? Masks make it warmer. I could tell you this. We were up in Washington, D.C. last weekend, and it was freezing. And I'm serious. I'm an anti-maxer. I'm an anti-masker. I hate wearing a mask, and I don't do it as often as possible. And I kept mine on there because it absolutely, if you're really cold, put your mask on. You're really cold, put your mask on, and you can and you can stay warmer. That's for sure. That's the only thing a mask is good for, in my opinion. 713-780-3776. Daniel Snyder is catching it. Apparently, the congressional committee met, and Tiffany Johnston was up there. And man, Daniel Snyder. Now, the commanders, it hasn't been received really well. Those are the guys who actually were holding down. Well, their wives were holding down handmaids.
That's the stupidest thing. Also, commander in chief has been around for a billion years before.
Well, I know, but I think Daniel Snyder is using it in this context, not in that one.
You think he's doing Handmaid's Tale?
Well, I think he. Well, did you hear Tiffany Johnston yesterday in front of the congressional committee?
Did she say they were called Marthas?
She did not use
and
the word.
And here are the Washington Marthas.
No.
No.
No, he wouldn't call. Daniel Snyder isn't about the Marthas. He's about the commanders.
I'm saying, did they name the cheerleaders the Marthas?
No. Oh, well, okay. Now there's a different story.
That's what I'm talking
about.
No,
the Marthas
yeah.
weren't. No. The Marthas.
Joe, do you think handmaids?
Marthas.
So you want to call them the Washington Handmaids?
Well, those are the cheerleaders.
Well, that's what's being alleged.
That's how Daniel Snyder looks at them.
The commanders think people are going to find whatever they can to. It's. I've never heard of a name switch where people liked it. Name a name switch where everyone went, that's awesome. When they went from the Washington
statues?
Bullets to the Wizards, like, this is stupid. Wizards? Ooh, I'm a wizard.
Well, what about the Cleveland statues?
Or Cleveland whatever they statues?
Are. The Guardians?
Oh, yeah, the Guardians.
That's what the statue is called in Cleveland.
Yeah, the right, Cleveland right, Guardians right. going from the Indians to the Guardians.
Yeah,
I don't know. I haven't really heard a lot of people fuss about that, I guess. I don't know. But the Washington thing, that's an interesting thing. I mean, we're talking about this is Capitol Hill. This is, testimony. It's a little bigger deal. And Dan Snyder, I don't know if it's true or not. If it is true, I mean, it falls in line with some of the questions we've heard. What Dan Snyder's saying is, hey, I've apologized multiple times for the stuff that went on and admitted things went on in the building that should not have happened.
Well,
but not me personally, because she made personal accusations against him.
Yeah. Well, here's Tiffany Johnston and some of the things that she was talking about to Congress.
I learned that placing me strategically by the owner at a work dinner after this networking event was not for me to discuss business, but to allow him, Dan Snyder, to place his hand on my thigh under the table. I learned that job survival meant I should continue my conversation with another coworker rather than call out Dan Snyder right then in the moment. I also learned later that evening how to awkwardly laugh when Dan Snyder aggressively pushed me towards his limo with his hand on my lower back, encouraging me to ride with him to my car. I learned that the only reason Dan Snyder removed his hand from my back and stopped pushing me towards his limo was because his attorney intervened and said, Dan, this is a bad idea. A very bad idea, Dan.
That seemed pretty specific when I heard the sound. I've read it, but when you hear it, I don't know. It hits different. I was like, wow. She's saying that Dan's doing that, and she's got to be like, so anyway, like I was saying,
So I don't know that those are all that damning, but I guess she was a cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can't put your hand on someone's leg under a table?
No, you can't. No, that's not appropriate behavior.
I mean, in movies it happens, but that's if it's Vince Vaughn or whatever, but
She's a little bit older now. She was. She's got some interesting pictures out there on the internet when she was younger, and in cheerleading garb and other stuff.
I don't know about any of that stuff.
Yeah, that happened, and I think that's, you know what. And Daniel Snyder said, well, she was a cheerleader. She does stuff. So here we go.
Well, but you got to be careful, though, because you saying that is going to make people say this is the problem with, you know, she's that you think she's asking for it or whatever. That's one of the things.
No. But she does. I mean, she was a cheerleader, and she has some provocative, besides the cheerleading picture, she has some provocative stuff out there.
But what does that have to do with her?
It's just a fact. It has nothing to do with anything.
Okay.
But to Daniel Snyder, it might. To Daniel Snyder, apparently, he thought, you know what, I got a hottie here who we moved up to the front office, and you know what, she was our cheerleader, so, you know, for Daniel Snyder, it might be, you know, that means green light, whatever. It appears that Daniel Snyder thought differently of her than just front office
personnel.
Well,
that's what he's being accused of.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's being accused of. We don't know.
And listen, that's not the only accusation. There are plenty of accusations in the Washington football team front office, or the Washington Commander front office. It was a place that was. I mean, this is not. I'm not breaking any news here. It must have been a tough place for women to work there. Listen, Dan Snyder. We'll see what kind of teeth, because Roger Goodell works for the owners. We'll see, you know, with this testimony now in front of a congressional roundtable, we'll find out, you know, if he's going to, you know, lay into Dan now, because it's becoming more and more embarrassing for the league. Stephen Ross is embarrassing for the league. We'll see if there's any teeth to what Hugh Jackson is accusing the Browns of, and whether or not Jimmy Haslam's an interesting guy that they let into their little
club,
little group. Because
he's atypical of what they usually have.
Yeah, right. I mean, he had the flying pilot, all that controversy where he turned all of his employees in and he avoided prison. He just had to pay fines when others went to prison. I mean, Jimmy Haslam has a history as well. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of action Goodell is going to take against these guys who are, you know, And maybe he can take – is there any action he can take against Cal for not being all that bright?
Gross negligence?
There is gross negligence going on. That's for sure.
There's definitely gross negligence. When we come back, we've got a couple of you guys want to talk about Texans and their head coaching position. So we will do that here in just a second. We will we'll talk about – there's still going to be, I think, four jobs to fill in the NBA and the NFL. I think everyone's considering the Vikings are a done deal. But we will and Miami is still one of those jobs that need to be filled. The Saints need to be filled. Vikings unofficially, but it's going to be filled. The Texans. So we will get to your Houston Texans and what they might do with callers coming up next. 713-780-3776. It's 844. On the bench, and John, you've got some HR&P business to talk about.
Well, I've just you would think HR would be – I'd be in there all the time. You would think that. But that's simply not the case. I'm a great employee. So if I do get fired from here, just think about that next time you're hiring. But here's the deal with HR&P is HR&P is going to be able to work out those HR issues that you have. This is something that you don't want to do. This is something that you want somebody who's a professional to take care of. You make HR mistakes, it will cost you. And when you're being sued by employees for false termination, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, I wish I had HR&P. When you're not getting your payroll, or it's costing you a lot more than it should to get your payroll out there, or there's mistakes in your payroll, or there's mistakes in your taxes, there's mistakes in your Affordable Care Act. If you're not with HR&P, there's possible mistakes. HR&P is flawless. Been flawless with us. We love them. If you want to ask anything about it, call Laura up at our station, and she'll give you a ringing endorsement for HR&P. I promise you that. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. You want that payroll and HR company, HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. As I understand it, we have callers. I can't see the screen, the call screen, but apparently we have callers who want to get on the HRMP listener line and talk about our Houston Texans. Who doesn't want to talk about our Houston Texans, though?
Let's start it off with, looks like Renee, I believe, is the first caller up.
Or Renee.
Well, let's see. What's your name?
Renee.
Yeah, Renee. What's going on, Renee?
Hey, I just want to get your both y'all's opinions on why Joe Lombardi didn't get a second interview if the Texans would have thought about going to an offensive coach versus a defensive coach.
Must not have had a very good interview, honestly, to not even get a second interview, and you talk about an offensive coach for him not to get. A second interview is fairly telling to me.
Yeah, they liked Kevin O'Connell, too, who's an offensive coach. Josh McCown is an offensive coach. Is that not good enough for you?
Is he an offensive coach or he played offense?
Well, I think no one knows because he hasn't coached.
I assume he will be an offensive coach.
I guess you could. Okay. All right.
I don't think I don't think Joe Lombardi got an interview
with Gannon is a defensive coach. I don't know. See, I don't. Is there? Does it matter to you that it's an offensive or a defensive coach? Or how about just a
at
really
this point,
good coach?
No. At this point, no, it doesn't.
But with Brian Flores, it matters because he has been very poor at hiring offensive coordinators.
He's been terrible at hiring the right eye, or either that or getting along with the offensive guys.
And who's been more successful lately? The Shanahans, the McVays, the LaFleurs.
Yeah, but Joe Lombardi, I don't think he's ever, I'm not sure, has he ever interviewed for another head coaching job before? The only one he interviewed for this offseason, it looks like, is the Texans. So I'm not sure he's in high demand, number one.
So he should be the number one candidate. No one else wants him.
Yeah, I mean, he's not in high demand. And
that's not a prerequisite for the Texans.
No, it's not. But to the caller's point about why would they not consider him more, why would they not give him a second interview, he must not have been very good in the first one.
Yeah, we don't know. We weren't in that room. Jack Easterby was in that room. Maybe we could call Jack and find out.
Yeah, Tyler, see if you can get a hold of Jack Easterby.
Last name Easterby?
Just go on to one of the accounts that are on Twitter, the several accounts that are set up with his name on it, and just DM all of them. And see if, or go to Twitch and get Jack Easterby's burner account, the guy who logs in like that.
There were 80 of those. So.
Yeah, so just see if that
will
work.
It's going to take some time to sift through all these to see who the real Jack
is. I did not see Jack. I saw a lot of Texan scouts. I was on the same floor with a lot of the Texan scouts. I never saw Nick Caserio or Josh. You can watch tape. They can watch tape, practice tape. So Nick may not have made the trip.
Seems to me Jack Easterby would have rather have been in Vegas with the East-West Shrine.
Jack?
Yeah.
Vegas?
He's a player.
They say the East-West was a fun trip. Most guys went from my buddy Rodney Williams and Brian Overstreet, a couple of agents who are here who've got three different players in the Senior Bowl this year. They went from, like, a lot of the guys on the road, the scouts and agents went. They took off last Friday, went to Vegas for the East-West Shrine Game. Then during that week, then they came immediately from Shrine Game practices over to the Senior Bowl practices. So a lot of them were on the road for a full week before they were going to get back to Houston before the ice stuff probably canceled a bunch of flights. But a lot of people talked about how, man, What a great trip it was to Vegas. They've got a great setup, better than it used to be in Tampa. So they pulled that out of Florida, and they went to Vegas. And someone made the comment about, well, maybe they need to pull the Senior Bowl away from Mobile, but there is so much invested in that because the talk is, well, you've already seen it, that there's going to be a bidding process or something to that effect for where the combine is going to be, and that's going to be, for most of you, you won't care at all about that, but from a logistics standpoint, it could be a little challenging.
Well, listen, here's something. Oh, it was a lot more fun. The East-West Shrine was a lot more fun in Vegas than Tampa.
Yeah, but you're not allowed. I don't think those – oh, yeah, I think they are allowed in because I know somebody in the league who said he won money all four nights gambling, that the blackjack tables treated him extraordinarily well. So
you can.
I can't.
You're a grown man. You can't go in? What?
I can't, but they can, I guess.
What are you talking about? You can't. You can't go into a casino?
I'm not allowed to go play at certain places. Like if I'm in Vegas, I can't go play during the season, only in the off season.
Oh,
not during football year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Can't play fantasy. You're going to somehow influence a game?
Fantasy football, March Madness squares. I mean, March Madness brackets.
You can't do those?
Nope. Only for fun. Or there has to be for a certain financial level. Fantasy football cannot go over a certain financial level.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
You guys,
and even though the league is now
it should be the NFL comrades. You work for a communist organization.
Nah, they've got they've got a lot of rules for us.
I guess that's so stupid. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to influence in the off season. What is you putting your name on a square for an NCAA basketball tournament have to do with anything in the NFL?
I just know the commissioner doesn't want me to, so I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry. Wow, I'm not doing any of your dumb squares or your stupid little brackets.
Hashtag.
Those are for addicts.
Quest for 28. Yep. Yep.
That's for literally a pack of Diet Coke.
Squares are lottery tickets. They're not for addicts.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. No, I totally agree with you. But we just have a lot of rules. I got to check and see if any of the rules have been changed.
I could see college coaches like, I asked Dana, hey, you want to get it? I can't play that. I can't do that.
We're not allowed to.
I can understand that. You?
We're not allowed to share any information.
What do you have to do with the results of any game, anytime, anywhere?
They don't want us having any access to potentially to disseminate information that we may get towards anything that's gambling. I mean, it's pretty standard stuff. But they've got a lot of rules in place for their employees as it pertains to information regarding fantasy football and regarding gambling. They don't want any gambling information out there. I mean, if you think about it, that kind of stuff has been in place forever. You don't want injury information, things like that, any kind of sensitive information. The fact is, I'm not going to get any. We don't get any in league circles, but they don't want the potential for impropriety with the game being played. This is why I'm just telling you, the Stephen Ross thing is a really big deal in league circles. Because
it better be.
If they're worried about us playing fantasy football.
If you can't put your name on an NCAA tournament, Stephen Ross better be kicked out of the league.
That's what I'm telling you. If they're worried about me playing a bracket, playing in a March Madness bracket or a fantasy football league over a certain amount of, winnings, then what do you think they think about a $100,000 offer to fix games? I can promise you they'll take that quite seriously.
Yeah, right. I mean, absolutely they will. All right.
You can do stuff like you make your little friendly wagers or whatever.
Well,
like,
can't do that.
Box load of Diet Cokes or whatever. And there's stuff you can do in the off season. Because I got a friend of mine who goes to Vegas in the off season. And I'm just telling you. The league is extraordinarily careful.
Don't do it.
Extraordinarily careful with any potential for game fixing at all. They want to eliminate any possibility. That's why the Stephen Ross thing is going to be taken extremely seriously if they really want to find it. Because that flies in the face of the whole tanking thing. They don't want tanking.
No, they don't. All right, let's look back at the week that was. We've got an hour to go in this week here. The week that was, the most important stories from this week, when we come back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Guys, next week, it's right after. It's about 10 days away now. It's Valentine's Day, and you got to get her something. Give her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all with soft, silky, naturally nude pajamas available exclusively from Pajamagram.com. Sensuous and smooth, naturally nude pajamas feel just like her own soft skin. She'll love slipping these on every night. So soft, luxurious, they'll melt away her stress. She'll love the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all, and you'll love the way they look. Check them out at Pajamagram.com. Look! You got naturally nude pajamas, and you get free gift packaging, which means you don't have to wrap a thing. So get her naturally nude pajamas. Just go to pajamagram.com or text the word GIFT GIFT to 41234. Again, text the word GIFT to 41234 to order naturally nude pajamas. It's fast, it's easy. Delivery by Valentine's Day is guaranteed. And tell them John Granato sent you.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.